painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with a Minnesota native who is acting in two productions at Great River Shakespeare Festival. He can be seen as one of the male leads in Comedy of Errors and in multiple roles in Richard III. Christopher Peltier fills us in on how he manages his process when developing characters, the skills needed to live the transient life in theater, how he manages to keep performances fresh each time, and his most horrifying moments, which there are several of, on stage.
I mean, I've had the moments where I split my pants open on stage. It's actually happened 3 times, so I have a good run going for that one.
I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat. I am with one of the members of Great River Shakespeare Festival that we haven't had the pleasure of visiting with ever. Go ahead and introduce yourself and what you're doing with the festival this year.
Hi, my name is Christopher Peltier, and I am an actor in the festival. It's my first year here. So I'm playing Antiphilus of Ephesus in the Comedy of Errors and a couple of parts in Richard III. I am a murderer, a citizen, the Lord Mayor, Sir James Tyrrell, and Henry, the Earl of Richmond.
So you got a lot going on.
Just a couple things, yeah.
Okay. Where are you from and how did you start your relationship with theater?
I am actually from St. Paul, Minnesota, just up the river a little ways. I am a lifer. I started in the first grade doing Oliver back at my Catholic grade school. And then, you know, I just kind of got hooked and I've been doing it ever since.
What is it that you like about it? Because this is one of those things that you have to be able to handle rejection over and over again. A lot of things you have to take internally in to build a character. But why do you love it if there's so much work?
I love the creative challenge of there not being a specific process. Every time you play a character, there's a different way in, whether it's physically or, you know, something pops out at you or you have an emotional memory that inspires something in you to get you a little bit closer to the character. But every process is kind of different. It's not like you're repeating the same thing while you're going through a lot of similar steps every time you do a rehearsal and performance process. It's always just a little different, which keeps it fresh.
Is Shakespeare your main thing?
Yes. I went to college and trained at the University of Minnesota with the Guthrie Theater's BFA program up there, and it's a classically based program. So we basically did about 2.5 years of Shakespeare training, and that kind of made me fall in love with it. I had a similar high school experience to a lot of people where we sat around and, you know, read Shakespeare in English class, and it didn't really make a whole lot of sense. So then when I got to college, I kind of had my eyes opened up to what it could be, and I fell in love with it, and I've been doing primarily Shakespeare since I got done with school.
Okay, so Shakespeare has its battles when you approach the script and how you're going to interpret the text and how you're going to break it down, because some people will take it kind of sing-songy, but you want your audience to really understand it. How do you understand it yourself so you can have the audience understand it?
Sure. You know, I mean, we start the same place that anybody starts, in figuring out what the words mean. And we go through and we, you know, paraphrase and we look up definitions and old definitions and how words, the use of words has changed over the years. And then once we know what the words are, we have to make them personalized to us, and we have to start building our arguments. You know, why am I saying these things to the person I'm saying them to? So then you kind of just start going through and you start building, you know, thoughts into arguments, into scenes, into, you know, arcs of characters. But it all comes back to the words and energizing the words. And that's one thing I love about this company, Great River Shakespeare Festival, is that they're so focused on the words and the meaning and making sure that everything is energized and that we're, you know, taking all these tools that Shakespeare gives us, all these words, and, you know, really shooting them out and making a connection with our scene partners and with the audience as well.
How do you go about developing the character for yourself, but then taking criticism from the director and being able to kind of change gears?
It can be difficult sometimes. I had a teacher one time say that, you know, as an actor, you have to be 100% certain that something is right until it's not. And then you have to completely let it go. And learning how to, you know, release that thing where it may have been a bit or a facet of the character that's really, really near and dear to you. But if it's not working, then you have to trust the director's outside eye. And also be aware that you may have an affinity to the character. You're like, you know, I want this person to be likable, or this person is evil, and you have to check and see if that is influencing what decisions you're making with the character, and if that's working for the production that you're doing. Because these characters also change from production to production to production, based on the relationships they have with other people and the story that the director and the cast is trying to focus on.
Tell me your most horrifying moment in theater.
Oh, gosh, there have been a couple. I've had the moments where I split my pants open on stage. It's actually happened 3 times, so I have a good run going for that one. But the scariest moment, I was doing outdoor theater a couple of summers ago, and we were in full Elizabethan costumes, so, you know, doublets up to our chins, all the way down, full sleeves, big boots and everything. And it was 97 degrees at showtime with a heat index, I think, of 112 degrees. So we were doing The Two Gentlemen of Verona, and I was playing Proteus, and there's a scene where Proteus's best friend Valentine comes and shows up at court, and I was standing on stage, and the actor who's playing Valentine came down one of the aisles, and I turned around and looked at him, and I remember my stage manager saying, I kind of got worried because you tend to sweat a lot, and you stopped sweating in that moment. And I saw him, and my head just went completely blank. So I knew that once Proteus started talking with another character in the scene, I could just kind of stand there for a while. So I just kind of grabbed him and moved him and pushed him across the stage so that they could continue the scene. And then a good buddy of mine who's playing Speed, who is Proteus' servant, just kind of crept up behind me and grabbed the back of my costume and said, I'm just going to stand here for a little while until you stop swaying. So I think, you know, pretty sure that was heat stroke and not the most fun to have happen on stage, but you know, exciting experience.
Have you had an embarrassing moment outside of that that you recovered from and you were like, actually, that wasn't that bad?
I was out working in Montana and we were doing Hamlet, and we had just gotten past the play within a play scene. And there's a scene between Hamlet and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern about a recorder. And the recorder's supposed to be brought on in the middle of the play and left there. So we get to that part of the play and I look down and there's no recorder there. So I'm thinking, did the recorder roll somewhere? Where's the recorder? So I just start walking around the stage going, the recorder, the recorder, the recorder, the recorder, out loud to the entire audience, trying to find a solution that we can move the play forward. And we realize that no one on stage has language that can move the play forward. So I look at the actor playing Rosencrantz and I yell, the recorder. And she takes off running backstage. So I'm still circling, trying to figure out what to do to keep this play going with everybody watching us. And I turn to the actor playing Guildenstern, and I don't know why, but I just decided to yell, I must needs have music, which is not Shakespeare at all. And he kind of had this horrified blank look on his face. And luckily at that moment, Rosencrantz came back with the recorder. And I was like, ah, the recorder. And the play kind of went on from there. But it was pretty clear to just about everybody that we had just about derailed that play completely.
And it feels like forever when you're up there, right?
Oh, God. I felt like we were out there for about 3.5 hours in that scene. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep it fresh night to night when you're doing something for like a long time?
Sure, yeah. You know, it kind of comes down to connecting with the people that you're on stage with. You know, if you're listening to them and they're listening to you, it's going to be a little bit different every night, or somebody's going to be inspired and a word is kind of going to pop out a little differently. And as long as you're open to that, you can adjust and you can stay in that moment with them. And it'll differentiate so it doesn't just kind of become monotonous and repetitious and yeah, it just kind of keeps it alive.
You said the process changes every time, but there's probably certain habits that you have when you first get a role, right? And you get the script.
Yes. You know, what I usually start by doing is going through and, you know, some people highlight their lines first, some people do other. I like to leave the script completely blank and just kind of try to read the story first, you know, trying to block out which character I'm playing so you can try to figure out what the whole story is. And then after that, going on and moving into what's my character's point of view, what's my character's function in the play, how do I relate to the other characters? But I don't think that you can do that until you have a firm understanding of what the entire world is of the play. And then once you have that, you can fit yourself in.
Why Minnesota? Why do you keep this as your base?
I actually live in Chicago now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're from Minnesota, but you're still in the Midwest.
Yes, I am from Minnesota. I, you know, grew up, went to high school here, went to college here, and then part of being an actor is that you are called on to represent people of, you know, all different backgrounds, all different stories. In my college training, one of the really important aspects that they focus on is making us wholly rounded people. So we were taking, you know, all the liberal arts classes in addition to our conservatory training. And part of, you know, rounding myself out as a human is that I'd spent the first 23 years of my life in the Twin Cities, and I needed to branch out a little bit and kind of, you know, go off and explore on my own. So I'd spent some time in Chicago prior to that, and I'd worked with a lot of Chicago actors, and it has that, you know, big city New York feel, especially to somebody coming from the Twin Cities, but it still has that Midwestern mentality. So that was kind of where I decided to make my home base, and this is my first time working back in Minnesota since college, so it kind of feels like coming home. You know, I got to have breakfast with my parents because they have a cabin an hour away from here. So it's really, really nice, and it feels very, very comfortable.
Is it hard living a transient lifestyle?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am on the road generally anywhere from 3 to 8 months a year. I tend to travel a lot. So you get really good at packing. You know exactly what fits in your car and how much stuff you can bring and what you'll need for which season in which state. But there is some negotiating, especially with, you know, personal relationships that you have. I'm lucky. I am married to a wonderful actor. Her name is Eliza Stoughton, and we have both done a lot of traveling, so we're used to the other person going out of town. It doesn't mean that it is easy, but we have that experience, we have that understanding of, you're going to go off and do an adventure now, and then we're going to come back together, and then you're going to go off and do an adventure now, and we're going to come back together. So it takes some balancing, and you have to learn how to be good talking on the phone to people, because you're not always around. But yeah, that's the main thing that you have to kind of focus on. That's the hardest part, is the, you know, keeping your relationships up.
When you first start out in the career, there's a lot of, no, we're looking for this. How do you handle that? And then how do you finally come to terms with it?
Yeah, I think that it's even beyond when you first start out in the business. It's, you know, all the time. And one of the hardest lessons to learn is that it's so often not you. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty of times that it has been me, that I've walked in and just bombed an audition. But the easiest way to kind of have a little bit of self-preservation is to be as prepared as you can, get in there, do your best, because then if you do your best and if you believe in yourself, then they probably just wanted, they went a different direction. They wanted somebody a little bit different. They wanted somebody a little bit taller. They wanted somebody of, you know, who sounded a little bit different. Anything. There's so many things that are outside of our control. The one thing that we can control is doing our job as best, as well as we can.
What have you learned the most from your career?
Oh, gosh, that I don't know a whole lot. I remember being in school and then coming out of school and being like, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I totally have this. And then, you know, the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know, and you're constantly learning, and you have to, I think, you know, just stay humble. Because as soon as you start thinking, I know it all, you stop listening to the other people around you, and you stop learning from the other people around you. And especially here, there's so many smart people from so many different parts of their career. You know, our apprentices are incredibly smart and incredibly driven. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have people who have immense experience in a whole bunch of different areas. And we can all learn something from each other, but you have to be open to it. And I think I have had times, especially when I was younger, hopefully less so now, knock on wood, that I've closed myself off and I felt, you know, like, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I am, you know, I got a little too big for my britches. You know, keeping yourself grounded and realizing how little you know about it.
What roles do you want to play or hope to play?
Oh, gosh. I've been really, really fortunate that I've gotten to kind of work my way through a lot of the young characters in Shakespeare and got to play a lot of kind of the young leading men. But a couple that I didn't, you know, I never got to play Hal, and I'm kind of starting to age out of that from Henry IV, parts 1 and 2, then leading it to Henry V, because that's kind of, you know, his full journey. And that's one that I always wanted to play, as well as Richard II. We're doing Richard III this year, and Richard II is the beginning of the Octology. But it's just, that's such a beautiful play. I would love, love, love to play that part. Those are kind of, you know, my big Shakespeare ones, and that's kind of what I can think about right now, because I'm just in Shakespeare land.
Musical at all?
Not no, well enough for anybody to pay me for. I sing in the shower, I sing with groups, but
Karaoke maybe,
yeah. But no, I don't think that anybody's paying me to sing on my own anytime soon.
It's good to know your strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, you know, we have a nice group number in Comedy of Errors, and I feel totally comfortable singing that and dancing in that. But no, there are a lot of people who sing much, much better who should be getting paid to do that, not me.
And what do you binge watch?
Oh, gosh. It depends on what kind of mood I'm in. I love The West Wing. I've seen the entire series a couple times. But if I'm just watching something on Netflix, I'll be watching Parks and Rec, you know, 30 Rock, something like that. I'm so excited for, you know, the new season of House of Cards and Game of Thrones to come back. Those are kind of the big things I'm looking forward to right now. Since I've been here, I haven't been watching a whole lot of TV. We kind of, you know, get up, run around for 8 hours, go home and fall asleep really quick, and then do it all the next day. So I haven't been binge-watching a whole lot of shows lately. Hopefully once we get open, I'll have a little bit more time.
You will.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will. If people want to find out more information about you, where would they go?
Well, an easy spot is just to go to grsf.org, the company's website here. It has all the bios for everybody. It has information about the shows. It has ticket information. That's kind of, you know, the best way to figure out what's going on with me now. I don't have a personal website, but if you Google Christopher Peltier actor or Christopher Peltier Chicago, it'll pop up. But yeah, the most up-to-date stuff is actually on the Great River website.
Well, perfect. Thanks for visiting.
Thanks for chatting.
Thanks again to Christopher Peltier for visiting with us on ArtBeat. More information on Christopher and the Great River Shakespeare Festival can be found at www.grsf.org and on Facebook at Great River Shakes. Additional content can be located on Instagram and Twitter by searching GR Shakes. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.